from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. I'm not like a butterfly in the sky. You know, that's already covered by the great LeVar Burton and crew. I'm more like a butterfly that, you know, sits down and gives a sleepy sigh. Or actually, the podcast then enables that, where you say, well, that butterfly looks so rested and restful. I'm going to rest. What am I talking about? I'm not sure. The gentle motion of butterfly wings that slowly lower like your eyelids. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, if I could just have your attention for a few minutes, or if you could remember when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, because these are the ways we keep the show going. They're on our website, sleepwithmepodcast.com. Here we go. All right, everybody, this is Scoots here, and this is where I kind of talk about support for the show. You've probably been hearing me. But here's the thing. I'm only trying to get this message out to 1 out of 100 people. Like, if you're that 1 out of 100 people, you're a regular listener, Sleep With Me. You get a lot out of the show. You listen to it on a regular basis. It makes your life better. That's 100 people, right? 100 regular listeners. I need one of you. Are you that one person who's willing to support the show right now? Go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus or set an alarm or a reminder right now to do it tomorrow. I don't know. Are you that? Think about it, if you're that one person or not. And then if you are, I'm going to pause for a second and give you a second to do one of those three things. Because if you're that one person who's going to take action, you have the power to change the trajectory of the show, like the future of Sleep With Me in 2025 for you and 99 other people. It's kind of like you're getting insurance for your sleep and your, you know, peace of mind at bedtime. You're supporting your boyfriend, but you're also supporting it for the other 99 people. So you might support the show for that if you're that one person. You might be that one person who wants more. You want all intro episodes. You want all night episodes. You want cool bonus episodes. You want ad-free episodes. But I hope you're that one person out of 99. If there's 99 people that are like, no way, not interested, somebody else will do it, that's fine. I just need one person. So are you that one person who's willing to support the show? If you are, right now or tomorrow, send a reminder and go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you're not in a position to support the show, don't worry about it. I'm on it. Your boyfriend is working on it. And we're here to keep you company and put you to sleep. And thank you so much for counting on us to do that for you on a regular basis. Thanks and good night. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, you're going to want to hear about tonight's sponsor because it's a new way to listen to Sleep With Me in bed. I don't know how you're listening to the podcast right now. You know, you may have some earbuds stuck in your ears, which you lose in the middle of the night. Maybe you have a bedside speaker. Maybe you're playing it right on your phone speaker. It's keeping your partner awake. However you're listening, you're probably listening in a way that wasn't designed for bedtime. So now imagine for a second you're snuggled up in bed, totally relaxed, your ear nuzzled deep in your comfy pillow, and you're hearing Scooter's voice played back to you. No painful earbuds, no tangled wires, just total comfort in the sounds you love. Well, imagine it no more. This is exactly what tonight's sponsor is here to help with, and it's called the Sleep Bar. The Sleep Bar is an advanced under-pillow speaker that turns your pillow into the comfiest earphone ever. It has a customizable shutdown timer, a huge battery that lasts multiple nights, and bone conduction audio that won't wake your partner. It's perfect for Sleep With Me. It's got everything you need to transform your bedtime listening. And they've given our listeners a limited number of 20% off codes. So head to Dusker.com. That's DUSKER.com. Dusker. And enter the code SLEEPWITHME20 to claim yours. That's one word, SLEEPWITHME20, at Dusker.com. You got to get one of these. I have tried it out. I bought one of these when I first heard about it. And it is absolutely amazing. Perfect for Sleep With Me. Perfect for when you're sharing your bed or your room with somebody and they don't want to hear your audio. I absolutely love it. So check it out and use that code. Thanks, everybody. Hey, Mr. Bard, a lot of people work very hard on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster, some sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies. Got a new album out. I think you'll really like it. You can get a copy at Also, I made a longer version of this credits song. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. So proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Veil Presents. Oh, now on with the show.
That's right. Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget, you could share right out of your podcast app and let people know, like, share the episode you like right out of the podcast app. Huge way to spread the word about the show. And I really appreciate that. And I think that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever is keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, the feelings of physical sensations, changes in time or temperature, shifts in your work schedule or your routine, you know, stuff on your mind, stuff going on with your body or your feelings, whatever's keeping you awake. I'd like to distract you from that. That's, I'm going to have a safe place here where you could say, huh, yeah, this feels pretty nice. Let me have a seat here. Wow, I can relax. How are you going to do it, Scoots? Well, I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use the lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to get mixed up with my... I'm going to say stuff that doesn't... Like that. Those are like words. I think we've invented words for what those are. Word fragments, word spillage. What do they get? Yeah, word spillage. What's it when you talk when your mouth's full of cereal? That's like a cereal spill. Don't do it, by the way, because what is that called, though, when it dribbles? Word dribbles. I don't think we've... Here's a question, too. Can you dribble a word? Of course you can. Maybe. I don't know. But first of all, like, I'm going to send my voice across to you. Long, soaring, creaky, dulcet tones. Oh, I'm here to keep you company. If you're new, let me just welcome you in and kind of tell you a few things. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're trying the show out. See how it goes. That's a thing every regular listener says, is it takes two or three tries because my voice has creaky dulcet tones, or to some people, creaky something else tones. And pointless meanders, I think everybody agrees on that. Every review, you see, you're really unifying the cranky spirit of people. I'm here to decrankify. Right, with my word spillage, it's kind of the opposite of common sense. I spill words. We'll get back to that because I think there's like a lot of absorbent things I could probably make a metaphor about. But for you, the new listener, if you are new, don't try to make a whole lot of sense of it. The show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep it free. Then we have an intro, which we've just started. And the intro is about 12 minutes. It's really like a part of the podcast. It's a part of a lot of most listeners' wind down routine. They put this on. The intro lasts about 12 minutes. I really don't get to a point because who would want a point in bed? I mean, right point for me. And no points of order in bed and no pointy things. I think that I'm not sure of this, but they say, well, why are our fingers just shaped with that shape, which you'd say is a U? I would say it's a U shape or a curve, you know, a half circle. And I'm sure lots of like people that know stuff would say, well, because of this and opposable thumb, finger, you know, I'd say, no, it's because you're no pointy stuff in bed. You'd say you can point with your finger, but it's not really pointy. And you say, oh, don't, and also no pointing in bed, unless you say, I love you. Even if it's in the mirror, which I do, you know, before when I get in bed, I say, actually, I don't do that. I may start doing that tonight, though. And I say, love you, Scoots. And then part of me would say, actually, my name's Drew. Actually, my name's Andrew. And then another part of me would say, well, I'm Andy. And then I'd say, good luck, Scoots. And they say, well, who's that? Who's doing the, and I say, that's the inner cheerleader, our inner pointer. Here's the thing, and I'm not kidding, I really do have, I think I need to, whatever the opposite of call is, and I guess this would be a little bit of a pun, but I need to hone my inner pointer sister, because that's what I could probably save that for the morning, though, when I wake up and I say, well, if I've honed my inner pointer sister would be ready to go. And I'd say, then I would be pointing in the mirror and I'd be jumping for my love. And I'd, you know, jump in to my floor and start my day. But most of the time, I haven't got to that point in my life yet. Also, I think I was making a point about not getting to the point for new listeners. That's how the intro goes. So some listeners fall asleep during the intro. A lot of listeners as part of their wind down routine. A few percentage points of listeners skip the intro. Go right to the story, which is around the 18-minute point or so, usually. So that's the structure. Oh, no, that's the intro. That's the structure. The intro is unstructured. Actually, it's structured, but it's modular. I move it around. And there's not a lot of rules with the intro or the podcast. You don't need to listen to me. I think you've already figured that out. Though sometimes I do have pro-am tips, like no pointing in bed. No pointers, any teachers, you know, leave your pointers in the classroom. Any pointer dogs, you know, those ones I'd say probably depends on whatever your dog bed policy is. And I'd say, you know, pointer sisters, sure. That's dependent on your relationship status with a pointer sister or not. Inner pointer sisters, sure, give yourself a little hug. That's what I do. And they say, I'm going to hone you like pointer system. I'm going to milk that pun for all it's worth that I accidentally, because originally I thought I was going to call you, but that's just because I didn't know what the word call meant for a little while. Okay. So if I'm trying to focus, it's hard when my attention's split between the other parts of me. That's like a crew. Inside of me, I have a whole crew. That's probably a generous way to describe it. A motley crew might be another way to describe it. But they said, wait a second, we got an inner pointer sister in here? And then they said, oh, yeah. And then they're all dancing now. Also, pointer sisters are 80s. Just look it up. You'll be happy you did. Yeah, you're probably on YouTube. You'll say, Scoots, it hasn't been this good since Diana Ross was at the Thanksgiving Day Parade. And I say, yeah, that was great, too. Okay, so where was I? Oh, structure of show. So the intro takes about 12 minutes, and it's basically a slow start to a slow podcast. I don't know why it made me laugh, because it's just true. But there's tonight we'll have a story. It'll be I don't even know yet. It's going to be one of those ones where I say, huh, what are we going to do a story about tonight? So that'll be fun. In between the story and the intro is some business. Then at the end of the show are some thank yous. So it's a structure show. You don't need to listen. But there's also no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the podcast is about an hour is I'm here to keep you company while you drift off. To take your mind off whatever's keeping you awake. Whatever the other stuff I thought I was going to talk about. But then I started thinking about this whole concept of pointers in bed. I think that's a pretty good policy. So, that's a structure show. No real rules other than you don't have to listen to me, but there's also no pressure to fall asleep. The reason I make the show is because I've been there. Like I said, sometimes I make jokes about these different aspects of my personality. But for a lot of you, you might be able to relate to it. Maybe not directly, but that as soon as you, turn out the lights, you get comfortable. These other parts of your, whoever you are, it starts speaking up. And maybe they're not, it's not always as good, sweet as, someone dancing. They say, well, by the way, and they want to do a run through about today or think about what's coming up next week. And I'm here to take your mind off that, to tell you a story or to paint you a picture that you can just listen to. And ideally, I'll be there and you'll float away gently into sleep. But even if you can't, I got you. I'm going to be here all the way to the end. You could listen to 299 other episodes back to back to back if you need to. Because I really, truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep. And, I don't know. It's just I know how frustrating it can be, how lonely it can feel. And, that's it. That's why I make the show. And, I don't know, what was that other stuff I was thinking about before pointers came up? Said once you get that, laser pointers would be another thing. Now, here's the thing. Okay, we're all, maybe, before, like, as part of your wind-down routine, I'm just trying to make it gets to, I'm not making an excuse, whatever that is, where you say, you probably could have a laser pointer in bed. I mean, don't shine, but it might be nice to shine it on your ceiling as you, especially if you have a cat, if you have a pointer dog in bed. But I don't know if that would be good for, is there a way to use a laser pointer in a slow, soothing motion? Or watching a cat, that might be too much cuteness, chase a laser pointer around your room at bedtime. But that could be part of your wind-down routine. Maybe here's the thing. If you and your cat have a relationship blues, and you say, you know what, we used to play so much, now it just feels like I'm with a roommate that doesn't really care for my presence unless I'm there to feed them. Maybe this could reinvigorate your relationship. It could be part of your bedtime routine during the intro. I wish I had a Sleep With Me cat laser pointer to sell, but go get one at the 99-cent store. And maybe as you listen to the intro, your cat's chasing the laser pointer around. Now, ideally, your cat, I mean, I think most cats can calm right back down and go to sleep. But maybe that extra cuteness, that's another level of distraction, a tactile one. I'm just picturing, I might be the first person distracted by an imaginary cat distracted by a laser pointer. Though a cat is more focused by a laser pointer and trying to get it and say, I'm going to put my paws over it or whatever. I mean, I guess I wonder what the cat says. The cat says, okay, never before have I seen a bright red forest wren that I like to consume. But now that's all I can think about. It's like, what are those hot candies called? Red Hots? I don't think cats have ever had those or should, but they say, wow, there's a floating neon hot. I got to have that. I got to hold it. Or maybe it's just like, that thing's getting on my nerves. Can we stop with the laser? But the cats just seem like they're having fun. So I don't know. Maybe think about it. Maybe try it out. You know, mix up the relationship a little. Also, see if you could shine it on the tip of your cat's tail just to see what your cat would do. Though cats are harder to do that with, not unless your cat's going to actually get it, but more to see, like, it's cute when a cat's, like, is that my tail doing that? Did I get a laser tail? Maybe that's a good name for a cat. Anyway, I'm here to help. I'm here to take your mind off stuff. I'm here to keep you company. Because, like I already said, I think... I truly believe I work very hard. I yearn and I strive because you deserve a good night's sleep, all right? And I really appreciate you coming by. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, I'm sitting here, and it's been a while since we've done one of these trending, because we've struggled to find things to trend. It's been a while since I've done a straight-up sit-down, and let's do a trending episode. And so I went back to, we're going to do a friending fritter episode, a friending fretlist episode. And we're going to use the old fish set list, not super old, from the beginning of their Baker's Dozen run in July of last year. Yeah, we'll use the set list from their first Baker's Dozen show, which I'll explain in a second, from July 21st, 2017. And we'll use that for the trends, since that's a little bit, it's still not perfect. You know, it's got song titles in there, but yeah, Fish did in July and August of 2017, they did 13, not back-to-back shows, but over a little bit of a, almost back-to-back-to-back. I think over 2 or 3 weeks, well, I guess it would have had to been over 3 weeks. They did 13 shows with 13 concerts. Fish is a band. And they did 13 concerts. They didn't repeat a song over those 13 shows. But even if you're not a fan, this will just be the set list. But then I was thinking of what would I do? What would we do a set list? Like, what's the latest story that's been on my mind? And I said, Scooch, remember when there was, didn't you have a character, the bunny that wanted to be a mermaid? And I've been thinking about the popularity of people that have rabbits and bunnies as pets. And I was thinking of this other story, and I think it was the bunny that wanted to be a mermaid. And I don't know if that episode came out in like 2014. I don't even really, I remember it was a bunny that wanted to be a mermaid, maybe a fan of The Little Mermaid. But this was one where there's another character, the daddy is a friend that lives in people's houses with legs that are long, and it's a daddy. Now, that actually character went to live with an owl, within the owl. It started to live within the owl, in the big farm in the sky. And this owl just happened to be named Danny with an I. And this is a story I've been waiting to tell. It's the owl named Danny. In the afternoon, the owl named Danny and the bunny that wanted to be a mermaid watched a TV. And it was Danny and Bunny. And they said it was their fan, like the owl. I think the owl just lived there in the house. My memory, you know, is not perfect, but what was the owl's name again? I already forgot. Danny was the owl's name, of course, and Bunny. That makes it hard to remember those, Scoots. Well, we'll get through it. But they had they were living in this house. No one knew the owl lived there. You know, the owl was a resident, in the rafters and the eaves. But, you know, it was a the owl, you know, did a good job. It just also appreciated the people when they lied in bed. They loved hearing the owls hoo at night. And this owl just happened to be diurnal, I think it was the one, maybe it was nocturnal. It was diurnal means both times, right? I don't know. This owl was nice and social. It was one of the few social owls. That I know about, because I don't know a lot of owls. You know, I know butterfly, you know, I know other characters. And so this bunny and the owl struck up a friendship over time. But, you know, the owl was usually sleeping. I guess that was my point. But then the bunny started, it was also a little bit nocturnal. That's what it was. That's how they struck up their friendship. It was in the deep, dark night. And usually they'd be quiet because all the humans were around, and they were both conscientious, so they would kind of keep their conversations to body language only or whatever. But then the family went on a vacation, and they left the bunny. Now they had someone coming by to take care of the bunny twice a day. But over time, the bunny and Danny's owl, they got to know each other. But not super well. And so then, one of their favorite things to do was to watch the humans, whether they were awake or asleep, or they would replay what they had seen. I think they really viewed humans as a form of passive entertainment, like watching humans. I mean, sometimes a bunny would get played with. So they would like fill each other in at night sometimes and be like, they were jumping in the leaves. They would rake the leaves together. The owl would say this, and they would just talk about it. And then they were like, let's see, well, did you see the face the kid was making? The kid was saying, chim chimini chim chimini chim chim cheree over and over again while they were sleeping. The owl said, well, that's interesting. And then the bunny started telling the owl about movies and TV. I don't know if you've ever seen an owl flying around on the inside of a house, it's not easy for an owl, even when there's no humans home. So usually, you know, if the humans were gone, they didn't really know how long they would be gone for. So the owl wasn't like hanging in the living room where the bunny could. But then the bunny started telling, the bunny started telling Danny about TV and movies. And how you could watch even more, you could almost watch humans whenever you wanted, and the stuff they do, and a anthropomorphized other things that, you know, humans, you know, they like their own likeness. Now, what they didn't realize at first, which was good for them, was that the cable was shut off. These people had stopped using, they were using antenna TV and a combination of streaming services, like your good old friend Scoots. And so, it was like a bit of a to-do. I don't want to take up too much time, but, you know, they did have to figure out between the two of them, getting the TV on. Now, the bunny had watched enough to kind of have a general idea, you know, even more than most house guests. Because, you know, when someone comes over to your house and, I mean, a lot of people still have, I don't know if I've ever been anywhere where it's straightforward how to turn the friggin' TV on. It's always, and they've gotten better. Like, the remote I have is unbelievable, but as soon as I moved, I changed some setting on it, so now I can't, so it's even hard for me to explain. I think that's a pretty universal experience. You go somewhere and there's like four remotes, especially if it's like an Airbnb. At least at Airbnb, you feel comfortable just pressing all the buttons on all the remotes until it works. But even in a hotel room, which only has one remote and a TV and no other systems, here's a couple of things that come up for me, not to change the subject from this great, amazing story, but you press the power button and it doesn't go on. So then you say, well, do the batteries work? Then you might press the TV button or the cable button. And then you might move, you do the thumb roll with the batteries. Then you take the batteries out. You see, oh, the batteries worked. It was just the wrong button. Or you see, am I the only one that checks into a hotel room and the battery, is that just happened to me or is that my imagination? Like when he's checking in, they say, okay, let me just check. They say, Mr. Ackerman, let me just check him back first with the manager. And they say, hey, Jerry, you got any, how many rooms we got by, how many rooms, did you give out the room by the ice machine in the elevator, the one with the dead batteries? Nope, we still got it. We got it saved for, Mr. Ackerman's here, put him in that room. The one with we have two, actually, the one with the vibrator, the one with the loose metal on the ice machine, give him that one. Oh, is that the same room we gave two doors down to those kids that are the parents don't keep them cool? Yep, that's the one. Mr. Ackerman, great news. Your room's ready. Oh, great. Terrific. I can't wait to get up there and take my shoes off. Okay, there you go. So that's a little behind the scenes. Day in the life of Scoots. So these two, they figured out how to turn the TV on. You know, you've seen Thumper. And so if you can thump, you can also press. And the owl has a beak and very hyper intelligent. And then the owl, of course, got the middle seat on the couch. And the bunny was like, okay, this is how we do it. You press that button, it goes on, you got to wait a second. And then you just keep pressing up and down. And then sometimes you stop and watch something. That's how they do it. Unless they had something else in mind. So they started switching through the channels. Now, this was through the digital antenna. And they happen to live, I don't want to give out their location, But they happened to live in a very, they were really lucky. They lived, I don't know if it was near Chicago or Buffalo or Detroit or maybe Seattle. I don't know. No, Seattle probably not. But they happened to live somewhere where not only was there great United States urban coverage, but there was also Canadian coverage. So their digital lineup was just stacked, and I don't exactly sure what channel they started on, but it started with a game show, and the owl said, who's this? And they said, Eartha Katara, is he? I'm here. Welcome to another episode of Shake Your Coconuts. The only game show that where you shake coconuts, and we mean actual coconuts. And the owl said, "What do they do? What is this, a contest where they just shake coconuts?" And the bunny said, "No. What they do, and they watched it. I guess the bunny was a bit of a narrator. It said they shake coconuts while doing other things. Otherwise, it'd be terribly boring." So they have to shake the coconuts. The coconuts, they have actually, believe it or not, it's low tech. They're actual real coconuts. But there is a tiny microphone in a motion detector inside the coconut to make sure the coconut water is always swishing. And that's what Eartha said. You know, if you don't shake it, ba-bing, the coconut will, you know, the coconut, there's a big red sign of a frowning coconut with like steam coming off its head. And they said, you can't let the coconut juice go sour. And then the crowd would say, don't let the coconut juice go sour. So keep shaking. So they have different stages. You know, they have a quiz stage, just like Trivial Warfare. That's what my buddy Jonathan said. He has a podcast called Trivial Warfare. And they do a trivia thing, and you'd be surprised, like, how hard it is. And actually, they add in, of course, one. You start with one coconut. Then in the double coconut round, you have two. Then in a triple points round, you have three. And then in the quadruple points round, you have four. And, you know, it's one of those things where a person can gain a pretty good lead because if you get buzzed out each round, now each round, you can't get buzzed out for all four rounds. And each round is progressively shorter. Rob has a podcast. They used to do a Shake Your Coconuts recap of the show. But I think once Shake Your Coconuts went off the air, it was only on the air for like 4 weeks or something. But the bunny and Danny just happened to catch it. So that was the quiz portion. You'd be shaking, and then you'd try to answer questions. And your questions actually would get progressively, I think in the second round, they were the hardest. So it'd go medium questions or really hard questions. Then the third round, it was also interesting, like, where are you going to put that third coconut? Between your knees, you'd have to jump up and down. Or your thighs, which you also have to hold the coconuts. Armpit is a good, the spoiler, well, the show's not on the air anymore. Armpit's a good one. You have to do side-to-side motion, which if it's a visual clue or something, makes it a little bit harder. You can try to hold all three. And also they definitely measure your hands, so they make sure no matter what hand size you have, they try to make sure the coconuts are of a fair diameter. And so that was so that's the first round. Then there's a balanced round where, you know, like a little bit like an episode of our favorite TV show, Survivor, where you might have to go on a balance beam and you're having to shake a coconut and maybe carry an egg or something. Of course, like it's like not, this is a, also if we want to relaunch this and Ellen wants to host it or The Rock, I know they're both pretty busy, but, with their own game shows, but just an idea, like, I think just with a few tweaks, we could get this show off the ground. So there's, you know, different balancing competitions, then believe it or not, now this one is where I think why it went off the air, but it's still, I think, a good thing. is there's a talent show competition. Now, one of the things is that with each, I think, this was where the rules were more amorphous, because it was like you were supposed to do something involving talent, it was supposed to last 4 minutes, and each minute you'd get an extra coconut to have to shake while you were doing your talent show. And the idea was to get through your thing. But obviously people would watch the show. I think they would have been able to be prepared. Or it was just some things like someone would do how to cook something. You know, some people do dancing. But then you get somebody who's like, oh, well, I play the piano or the violin. And it's a different, it's very entertaining. But again, it was like a little bit like a Gong Show moment. And I think it was meant to be. Like, maybe they should have used that in, an initial, maybe they should have gone for, what's that show called? I don't know who, I think Wayne Brady hosts it now. It's where people dress up, and then they say, you could pick between this little box or this gigantic box. Not Pressure Luck. I mean, that's obviously the best game show, or Jokers, those ones. But I don't know what it's called, but it has a famous name, and it's like a, it's like a different version. It was on it got reinvented a few times. I mean, remember when you were sick from school when they finally invented that game show channel, which I don't think exists anymore. But so they watched this episode of Shake Your Coconuts, and it was really, really entertaining for them. Until the talent show portion lost them, because it was just hard with the person with the violin. It wasn't sounding very good. So that's when the owl tapped its beak and up to the channel. And this one was an old movie. Oh, so famous that it fell out. You know, that it's not available anymore. Except on, digital channel 36-7. I think maybe out of Toronto or Winnipeg or something. So, U.S., it's hard to track this one down. And also, it's a little bit of imitation of a famous couple of Pixar movies. And it's called Martian, M-O-N-S-T-R-S. And it was about two characters Sully. What is it, Sully and Mike? Who's the dude with one eye? It's Mike Sullivan, so it's not Sully and Mike. I'll think of it. Oh, Mike Krasowski and Mike Sullivan? I think it is Sully and Mike. Maybe it is Mike Krasowski. But these characters were very similar, but they were from another world. So it was very similar in a plot of that movie, but it was actually maybe not because it was they did it. Maybe it was a nouveau black and white movie. Hopefully it'll be on Mystery Science Theater. If I don't know if you've seen The Gauntlet yet, but do yourself a favor and watch the new season. Really, a bunch of heroes and heroines on that show to me. But so they did a movie, they were watching the movie, and it was a bit like Mystery Science Theater, but with a real owl and a real bunny, I guess that were sentient also, I guess it's a bit like Mystery, but they were real. And they were watching this movie, and again, instead of being two parallel worlds, this was, they came from outer space to Earth. Maybe it was the origin. I guess it was the origin story. And then they found a ripple in time. I think it might have had wrinkle in time elements to it. Maybe they went through a wardrobe. But very quickly, they changed the channel on that one because they said, what is this? And one was furry. And I don't know. It just didn't catch. It wasn't the kind of TV that an owl and I think because they like the more human stuff because that's what their gig is. They like watching humans because we're dopey. And boy, did they get it on the next one because the next one was the logging channel. Again, coming across the border from a great great country with maple leaf and a handsome prime minister. whose name, you know, who also reminds me, makes me want to read Doonesbury. I say, let me give me some Doonesbury. Holy, give me a Doonesbury. And, and then a prom picture of Justin looking sharp. But so this show is called Timber. It was hosted by a character, Jerry the Mule. But it was really just logging competition. It was on the logging competition. And this was like a timber show, which actually was interesting because it was like who could get their timber to carry further was part of the show. So they would say, timber. And I don't know, this just changed the subject because the show is really like it said, okay, you want me to watch 22 minutes of people yelling? And they said, oh, no, this is a state-sponsored channel, so it's 30 minutes. I said, I'd prefer 30 minutes of yodeling if you have it. I don't know if I've shared this on the podcast before. This is a big part of my childhood. And I'm not trying to claim anything, but I'm about 1,000% sure if I didn't invent this, one of my siblings did, but I'm pretty sure I did. And we used to, or maybe it's a universal child's game. It's called Chop Chop Timber. And anyone could play it, though if you're an adult, make sure to supervise your area first. You do it in your bed, or you could do it on the side of a pool. But usually we only did it in bed because it was probably when my parents were supposed to be asleep. But what you do is you stand at the head or the foot of your bed, make sure you're tall, you're short enough that your bed is longer than you are. And ideally, if you could perch on a headboard or footboard, not that kids should do that because you shouldn't. And then what you do is you take your hand flat and you go into your belly or your middle and you say, chop, 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 timber. And then you do kind of like a version of a trust fall into your bed. And you could chop your siblings. And this is always was a gentle, fun game. And that's all you do over and over again for hours. Chop, chop. Usually we just do chop, chop timber. That's what we called it. And I think because these two, maybe they lived in my world, they started playing it with one another. And unfortunately, if this was on YouTube, I'd be a billionaire because it was the cutest thing you ever saw. A bunny and an owl playing chop, chop timber, a game maybe I invented. On a couch, holding mackerel, and they were playing with one another, and this owl was so beautiful, holy, like a snowy, but gray, with these ebony flecks, beautiful, beautiful owl, and this cute, cute bunny, which was kind of the reverse pattern of the owl, and these floppy ears, such a cute beak. Is there also here while I'm recording, listening to me. That's also why I'm complimenting them so much. Then there was a show, and it was a math show, because they got to one of the public stations. And the show started off a bit like with a contact, which I'll talk about. But the kids could go 5, 55. And it was a show about loving math. Now, contact was the reason, was the answer, was the moment everything happens. That was a science show. This was a math show. And then it was like, I think it was hosted by the great Allie Ward, but even though she's into science, it was like kids doing stuff with math. And it kind of blew the bunny and the owl's mind. But they were more surprised at the kids' reactions when they said, math could do that. I don't know. During this part of the story, I tuned out because I have my own math issues. But my favorite part of that show was when the kids all said, 5, 55. What a moment. Then they got to a channel. They didn't know it was not a show. It was an infomercial about an automated pigtail maker, and it was called the Pigtails Pigtail. And what was cute about it was it looked like a pig's tail in the holder. It came with a piggy bank holder for this corkscrew thing, so you'd stick it in the pig when you were done. And actually, they even had a thing where the pig goes googly googly goo. And I think it was, you know, just a little bit unfocused as far as the item, probably just good around the holidays. I don't know if anybody likes the idea of, like, that it's a pigtail. I think that's probably fallen out of favor. So if the piggy bank was full of money or something, the kids would be happy. But, yeah, it was an ad for that. But they kind of more saw it as this ritual where everybody was doing one another's hair, and they would laugh at when the pig went googly, googly, goo. And they were also a little bit perplexed because they're only a bunny and an owl. They didn't realize that it was like an electronics thing. They knew the pig wasn't real. But it was cool because it was like, you know, do your friends, start your own hair salon. And, you know, the bunny was actually stroking the bunny's ears. And then also the bunny would every once in a while, like to make a point, like flop its ears over on the, but it was like, huh, I wonder what that would feel like, this corkscrew around my giant floppy ears that are so cute. So that was quite a moment. Then they went to another channel, which was another kind of, this was a serial, a bit like Buck Rogers, I think from the 50s. I think this was like one of these high number digital dash channels. So like 55-24 or something. And these are the channels where the real miracles happen. And this one was a serial show that went on, I think it was in the 30s or the 40s or the 50s or the 20s. And it was it had like a bunch of episodes. They were short. I think they were part of like newsreels or some other thing, and they were repurposed. So they were only 4-minute serial episodes of this adventure. With Celia Argenbach. She was a female astronaut, along with Lars Niner. And, they'd only made it halfway to the moon. That was the serial thing. And they discovered, so maybe it was before we got to the moon, they discovered that between the Earth and the moon, it was a whole world of adventures, you know, like even trying to get halfway to the moon. But of course, the series started with them stuck, you know, they were on a trip to the moon. I guess it was a joint United States to Sweden thing. And they got stuck halfway to the moon, and then they lost contact with Houston or whatever. Or, I don't know, whatever, beautiful, healthy city, Stockholm or something. And they said, we cannot read it. We're halfway to the moon. That was it. And every week or whenever it came out. But this one, since it was 22 minutes, you got to watch like 6 episodes. You know, so they met like the star people, and they said, you got to help us get to the moon. And then I think what was interesting is that really they had to get back. They did have a refueling thing at the moon, which was why they had to get to the moon. But then it was always like, do you want to go back? But then, of course, they uncover a whole conspiracy. I guess it was like a lot like Buck Rogers or Flash Gordon, where they realize there's a whole hierarchical world out there of human-like beings that aren't human. Like, I think in a future season, they go inside the moon because the dark side of the moon to try to get out to the light side of the moon where their stuff is. So they realize those people, it could bounce around. Every episode was like a total cliffhanger. And it was actually advanced. Like, I don't know if they knew about dark matter at the time. There was the quarks, which were actually like a musical, a culture of space beings that were musical, like a rock band. And so they only did that. So that was halfway to the moon. Really great show if you could catch it anywhere. Then there was this comedy show called Reba, which was, you know, everybody knows that show. But it was a great, like it was a, like a show based on Reba. I mean, what else do you say? It was Reba's variety show. It might have been known as. Now, somehow, like, it got produced by CBC, and we in the U.S. were deprived of ever seeing any episodes of Reba. But it had, you know, Reba singing, Reba doing comedy. Holy cow. Dramatic readings, guest stars, like huge celebrities. I mean, so many famous people are obviously Reba fans. Also, I'm talking about Reba McEntire, just in case anybody's like, you mean Reba from, you know, next door? She's got a show. No. Reba McEntire. Just Reba, though, is fine with me. Like touring around, helping people. That's always the best part. Each episode had its own arc. So a bit like, what was that? Like with a hee-haw type of Muppet. The Muppets were on, guests on Reba. And, you know, they're singing new songs together. Reba would cover songs, even pop songs. If you haven't heard Reba sing Call Me Maybe with Carly Rae, then you haven't lived, unless it's a Meghan Trainor song. And the three of them sang that together. And it was a comedy sequence. So it was also a skit where they were singing the song straightforward. And it was based on that people don't know what telephones are. It was, in the bunny and the, who was the other one? No, I'm just kidding. I know you're both watching me record. Must be like a TV show to you two. Oh, you're sleeping now. So that was a great one. It, then again, there's a lot of sci-fi on these higher digital channels. This one was called Moon Age Daydream. Which was, I guess, pretty much like Sleep With Me, but if it took place on the moon. And this one was very 70s, holy cow, or 60s, I don't even know, Psychedelic City. Because they'd say, you're going to have a, that was the thing, they'd say, you're going to have a moon age daydream, man. And it was like, what was that show called, like Time Quake or Quicksilver, where you travel in time. Quantum Leap was one of them. Halfway to an Angel, I think, was another one. This was the 60s, 70s version of it, where the Moon Age Daydream, and again, I don't really like these musical numbers, but this was another musical-based show where you'd have a Moon Age Daydream, and there was talking moons. I don't know if it was the Puffin Stuff person, whoever does that kind of stuff, but it was a bit like that. And funny, but not so. This one, if this was on YouTube, also I'd be a star. Or I guess the bunny and the, because that bunny and the owl, they found it hysterical. You know, because people would be climbing into the mouth of the moon, then they'd be floating in rainbows, then they'd ride a unicorn. And they'd be like, oh, why was I so grouchy when I, like, and then they'd learn it to bring their grandmother soup. That was like the thing they needed to learn how to do. Like, I didn't realize how selfish I could be. Then it was an educational show, Walls of the Cave, which was basically really great stuff. I mean, this is a show I could watch. Could you say, well, how many episodes will you do? Cave paintings? No. Cave, you do, in any cave, they go in and they talk about the walls. But that's just the conceit. I mean, they would talk about where the caves were, how to visit the caves, if the caves, you know, what the geology, the natural history, the not just the cave paintings, but what else. They also had present-day things. Could we live in a cave right now? They covered everything. They would even have, you know, cave-based. It was just a great, great show. Walls of the Cave. Should win awards. And definitely had to be a visual show. I'd say, well, could there be a Walls of a Cave podcast? Probably not, because, you mean, you say you haven't seen stalactites and stalagmites until you've seen the ones that grow out of the walls. And walls in quotes, of course, covers the ceilings and the floors. Then there was another infomercial about a tweezer. And this was tweezer, the only tweezer you'll ever, the last tweezer you'll ever buy. And here's the thing, is because it comes with something to wear it around your neck. It's a tweezer, it's a pendant. Tweezer, the only tweezer you'll ever buy. And I wanted to say, look what's in the freezer, Uncle Ebenezer, but And if you had a tweezer in the fridge, it would be cold, or the freezer. But
of course they would try to upsell you. They'd say the sparkling edition, tweezer in ruby colors, just $19.95 plus shipping, for the silver tweezer.
But a good idea. I just don't know that, if you're not in a business involving tweezing, I think a tweezer is a once a quarter thing.
You'd say, holy cow, where's my tweezer? You say, probably in a drawer in the bathroom or in your travel kit or at the store because you got to go buy another one. And then they'd say, but it was a little bit of a thing. It was funny just because they'd say, where's my tweezer? That was one of the lines. And they'd say, tweezer. Then there was a show called Seven Below, which was a team, believe it or not. It was this was a Canadian show, and it was about a team of elite snow fort builders, a bit like the great baking shows or the great Christmas, all these shows that have to make everything a competition. What's that show with the British dudes and the cars and stuff? A bit like that, too. Because it started, I think, again, the conceit was who's going to build the best snow fort and then have teams. But then it was what's the best way? What's that show? If they could get a Mythbusters team out there. Or X Factor, was that what? No, that wasn't the show. But Top Gear. But this was all in the snow and in Canada in the cold. So he'd say, let's supersize a snowblower. And they'd say, make it seven below. And they'd say, actually here in, Northern Thunder Bay, it's always seven below. That would be, and actually they had a good, great Paul Schaefer cameo on there. So this is just another one. Then they had a show, Billy Breathes. That was a show for pre-toddlers or something. Last show I saw, a bit like Teletubbies, but a lot of it just kids just breathing and looking at things floating around with simple music. I think just to get your kid, they say, hey, are you crying? Let's watch Billy Breathes and sing softly. Then there's one of the most famous Canadian soap operas you've never seen, again, because they won't give the rights up, based on Hollywood. So a Canadian soap opera interpretation of Hollywood called Sparkle. And, oh boy, did they nail it. Really good. Just picture the best soap opera and melodrama you've ever seen. And they didn't add an A to the end of it, but put it in Hollywood. Really, really good show. A bit more, because it was made in this era. I don't know, it was somewhere between your regular daytime soaps and a more modern, cable soap. Or even a Darren Star show, show maybe. So that was a good one. Then a show about positivity called Everything's Right. And that's actually a United States show, believe it or not. I think it's only, of course, it's out there in the digital spectrum. But it's about a couple of people, younger people. And they tour the country finding stuff that people are doing right. And they say everything's right. It's all about esteem building, positivity, catching people doing things right. Is that simple? They'd show up at kids' school. They'd be like, we've been told Bernice has been buying lunches for her classmates. We're going to surprise Bernice and catch her doing something right. Yeah, so Everything Right, really just a classic show. Then they had the Traffic Light Show, which was a show about
like for kind of toddlers, body awareness, esteem building, motion show, where you basically play games like Mother May I. Simon says, what's a TV? You know, or green light. Yeah, green light, red light. Even hide and seek, which was kind of like a pretend play. But it was fun watching the bunny and the owl do that. Yeah, combined with Everything's Right, and then this show, really good way for parents to watch TV with their kids, with their toddlers. Watch all these Everything Right, catching people doing positive things, and then the traffic light show. Then there was, you know, the Canadian Ellen. I'm sure you've heard of Susie Greenberg, a beloved Canadian star. And she kind of took the genre, like Ellen's show, and then made it, combined it with the judge-type shows, and then took the Canadian positivity and mixed it in. So it's like a show with celebrities or people pitching projects or other famous guests, and then two people having a disagreement, and Susie and the guests all help resolve things. And, you know, talk about, geez, what happened on the set? Or here's something to jump out of a box. You know, so really classic show. Everybody's heard of Susie Greenberg. Then a cooking show, which just happened to be strange. I think it might have been on the same channel, Coconut. It's just a show with, I think it's by the coconut oil or whatever lobby, was using coconuts for different things. So maybe they sponsor both those shows. You know, a coconut cream cake or, all sorts of different dishes with coconuts. It's done different exotic locales. So they have a travel segment. And I think they probably have a teaser from Shake Your Coconuts. So that was another show. Like, I don't know. Those two really enjoyed it. I think their mouths were watering. I don't think either one of them can eat coconuts either. Then there's back again, this is, they were watching it a lot of the TV during the day or late at night, but this is another one called The Mango Song, and that's again like a kid's show about the mango, you know, the mango song, you sing along, you feel so good, deep down you're strong. It's one of those shows that really has gotten, you know, some of a rap for pushing the limit, because it talks about hard things for kids, empowering your parents to talk to their kids about it, and has songs about it. So you read the lyrics to the Mango Song, you say, whoa, it's about, you know, some other stuff. And you say, oh, okay, well, now I have the ability, or at least a moment, to share with my child and say, hey, I talked about this. Even simple stuff like finances. Anything a kid would, the Mango Song has a song about it in a segment. You say, well, why, you know, what's gasoline? What's climate change? You know, and they say, you know, I think they even did one. My friend said the Earth's flat. What was the name of the song they did from that? I can't remember. But it was just a really enjoyable song, show. And then the Canadian, famous Canadian news program, now getting consumed more and more in the U.S., Good Times, Bad Times, where they report the good news first, then the not so great, then just regular news. But really it's called Good Times, Bad Times, More Good Times, but they just call it Good Times, Bad Times. Because then they report even more good news after that. And then they report empowering, like self-care. You know where the self-care movement started? Good Times. And usually you like, they do shout outs to the Good Times TV shows. They have like, every show has a random dance party. You think we say this is a new show. Yeah, at some point during the 30-minute broadcast, and they have in-studio musical guests, disco balls. Yeah, it's a classic. Good Times, Good Times, Good Times, basically. And yeah, that's like actually one of the shows I like to sleep to, get in bed with my bunny, male perched above me. Well, and then they go and do stuff, and I go off, and I get in bed, and I go to sleep. Good night. I will say thanks, good night to Brian, Ada, and Kelly. Thank you, and good night to Margaret, Corey, and Natalie. Thanks, and good night to Christina, Jennifer, and Robert. Thank you, and good night to Perrin, Lisa, and Margaret. Thank you, and good night to Tony, Catherine, and A. Thanks, and good night to Jennifer, Bronca, and Eric. Thanks, and good night to Marie, Jeannie, and Dunja. Thanks, good night to Michelle, Joe, and Jenna. Thanks, and good night to Hope, Rhonda, and Deborah. Thanks, good night to David, Ashley, and Zeke. Thanks, and good night to Sheila, Emma, and Matthew. Thanks, and good night to Jacob, Heather, and Claudia. Thanks, and good night to Jessica, Lindsay, and Daniel. Thanks, and good night to Paige, JJ, and Pow. Thanks, and good night to Kristen, Kelly, and Brenton. Thanks, and good night to Bruce, Emma, and Radia. Thanks, and good night to John, Ariane, and Robin. Thanks, and good night to Eric, George, and Marion. Thanks, and good night to Jane, Carol, and Megan. Thanks, and good night to Jenna, Josephine, and Jody. Thanks, and good night to Lisa, Ethan, and Christopher. Thanks, and good night to Daniel, Jaina, and Francisco. Thanks, and good night to Lynn, Rima, and Karen. Thanks, and good night to Mark, Nick, and Reed. Thanks, and good night to Kristen, Michael, and Eugene. Thanks, and good night to Jonathan, Ashley, and Brittany. Thanks, and good night to Izzy, Yana, and Amanda. And thanks, good night to Amy and Susan. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Sleep With Me exists thanks to listeners who directly support the show on Patreon or through our sponsors. That's how we keep it going and free. We're also super appreciative of everybody who spreads the word and just lets people know about the podcast. That's how we grow. We're a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You can check out the amazing roster of shows over there at nightvalepresents.com. We're also a proud member of PRX, which is constantly getting good news, like about Erlon, when I'm recording this, which might be different than when it comes out. But you can check out everything they're doing at prx.org. And that's it. Plenty more episodes if you need them, ready to go. But let me tuck you in here. Good night. All right, everybody. This is a week in review, or week or month in review, actually. This comes at the end of Sleep With Me. And I think from now on, I'll just put it in the bonus feed of Sleep With Me Plus, unless there's like an update that's pressing. So if you're on Sleep With Me Plus, make sure, you know, you can do everything from the main page at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you log in, once you go to that page, you'll have access to all of your podcasts from Sleep With Me Plus. You could change your payment method, change your membership, join the Discord. All that happens just on that one page. It's just two clicks to add your podcast, your podcast app. And depending on what tier you're on, you have access to three or four Sleep With Me Plus podcasts. So make sure to do that. That's at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if you're listening to the free show, you may have heard me in other messages. We're really looking right now for 1% of listeners to support the show who listen to the free podcast on a regular basis. It'll change the trajectory of Sleep With Me for you and 99 other people. But you also get all the sweet stuff I'm going to talk about. I also encourage the Sleep With Me Plus listeners to have a dedicated podcast app just for Sleep With Me Plus content. And then keep your whatever podcast app you use for your daytime podcasts and just try out a new app. There's tons of great free podcast apps out there. But yeah, I'm going to run through Sleep With Me Plus, what's come out in the past month. I'm going to start with the bonus episodes in the bonus feed. And looks like the last episode that came out was Tea With Bernie. That was April 27th. That's this new series that people really love. Welcome to Scooterville. And that's a postie special edition episode. Then we had a bonus episode, depending on what the Boar Friends and Boar Besties, where I talk about the video game Space Quest and play it. Then on April 13th, we had another Welcome to Scooterville episode, Underground Picnic Munch episode. So, and then a Fearless Flyer episode came out in the, at the end of March. So a lot of cool stuff. May we'll have stuff, and then Subscriber Summer stuff coming out in the All Intro and All Night episode podcast for those people, Boar Friends and Boar Besties. We tested out like this new thing without theme music and got great feedback on that. So thank you everybody that upgraded to an annual pledge or took advantage of that thing we're doing. So yeah, we had All Intros come out on May 2nd. An All Night episode came out. That's All Night. Wait, it comes out tonight, huh? Today's Thursday that I'm recording this. Yeah, so that comes out tonight, All Night TNG. And a new idea there, if you listen to that. I think we have one or two more All Night TNG episodes to do. Then we had a couple All Intro episodes come out, May 2nd, April 18th. April 11th was All Night Make Great Pets. An All Night Intro on April 3rd. April, March 20th, and Make Great Pets Part 1 on March 13th. Then the story-only feed and in the ad-free feed, both of those. We had Sushi Go board game unboxing came out last night. Our watch, Bring It On, Part 2 came out on Sunday. And it wasn't until after these episodes were like... that I learned that it was, not another teen movie, that the parody part from Bring It On, that the phrase that got stuck in my head is from, it only took three different episodes about Bring It On for me to find out. Wasn't in any of the episodes of Bring It On. But a great time to reflect on Bring It On. And I didn't realize that Kirsten Dunst would be like back in the spotlight in a cool way. So cool timing for that. Then we had Alba Salix episode 3 came out. Fairy Cake Woods, Multiplex, Cuckoo for Cuckoo Clocks, episode 7. Our Matrix crossover with the Novelizers came out April 24th. April 21st was Birds and Buds, which was Alba Salix episode 2. I've been getting a lot of emails of people that really like the Alba Salix content. And again, some people, not every episode's for everybody. And that's usually what happens is, for every three emails I get, that's somebody's favorite episode. I get one email that was somebody's least favorite episode. That's just kind of the way it works with stuff. That's why we work so hard as a team to invest the time to be able to keep this all the selection going and even adding on selections. But if you really believe in Alba Salix, we are paying them to use their content. So consider supporting the show. Or being like, okay, like let me become an annual supporter, because that's going to enable us to do that. We're doing all three seasons of Alba Salix, so as we roll on from here. So Multiplex episode 6, Bring It On part 1, and then Bring It On intro, and then the Bring It On intro. So that's everything we did in the past month or so. If you want to support the work we do here, consider supporting the show on Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you're not in a position to financially support the show, but you want to support the podcast, there's two great ways to do that. Check out our sponsors, test out a sponsor, test out a free trial, or refer people to the show. We just had two people across the three referral threshold, which gets them 3 months of ad-free and story-only podcasts. So consider doing that. Thanks so much.